Good morning. Welcome to all those joining us for Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Giluach, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Yud, which is based on Torah Chof Aleph in Likutei Maran. We dedicate the learning today, Le'ilui Nishmas, Feiga Bas Rav Avram Boruch, and Yitzchok Meir Brebichiel Michel, and Malkodvoy Rabas Rav Avram Tzvi, and Moshe Ben Betzalel Leib, whose Yortzeits are all today, on the 11th of Teves, and we dedicate the learning for a complete refuah shlema for all those that need it. Besoich Shar Chol Yisrael. Paragraph Yud. Ubishvil ze mein Moshe Rabbeinu harbe b'shlichusoi kisheshlochay Hashem Yisborach lohitzi es Yisrael mi'mitzrayim. Based on what we've been learning here till now, we'll understand why Moshe Rabbeinu kept refusing to undertake the mission of taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. When Hashem sent him to do that, v'to'am kamotainas, and Moshe Rabbeinu came back at Hashem with all kinds of arguments. V'amruli mashmoi mo'amralim. If the Yidden are going to ask me, what's his name? What should I say to them? And then v'hein lo yaminuli. They're not going to believe me. V'chein harbe, and so too other arguments. Ad shebesoyif omar shlachno biatishloch. Until at the end, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, don't send me, send the one who you're going to send to finish the job. I know that I'm not going to finish the job. Ki yoda shekoshe ma'oid lahachnis das b'Yisroel. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew that it's very difficult to be able to infuse Klal Yisroel with das. Ki adayin lo kichu es hatzman koroi. Because they had not yet purified themselves to the degree that a person needs to purify themselves to be able to receive this das. Ki yodua sheYisrael oz loyho yuadayin ruyim legula. Because it's well known that Klal Yisrael at that time were not really worthy of being taken out of Mitzrayim. Kama shekosu v'yecheskel b'simen tezayin u'bamayim loy ruchatz lemishi. You had not purified yourself in waters to deserve for Hashem to save you. Ad, until the Pasuk says afterwards, Vo'er vo'erolayich, vo'erech mizboiseses bedamayich. Hashem said, I passed over you and I saw that you were still dripping in blood, meaning you still were not clean. Alkein hoyo koshe ma'oid lahachnis bohem hadas o'amiti. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that it would be very difficult to be able to bring the true das into Klal Yisrael, shebozeh hayotolui kol geulasam, upon which was dependent the entire geula. Remember, we explained in the previous year, the pasuk says lochein gola ami mibli das, that golus means lack of das, geula means shleimus hadas. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood that they weren't ready yet. Really, they hadn't made all the preparations that were needed to be able to receive this Shleimus Hadas that Moshe Rabbeinu could offer them. Aval Hashem Yisborach hichrichoi leilech. However, Hashem forced Moshe Rabbeinu to go. Hashem insisted. Ulohoyer bohem hadas, and to shine into them whatever das he could, ulohoitziyom, and to take them out of Mitzrayim. Ki chomal aleihem bizchus ovois, because Hashem had rachmonis on Klal Yisrael, especially based on the merit of Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, v'dileg al haketz, and Hashem skipped over the real official time when Klal Yisrael was supposed to go out of Mitzrayim. We were supposed to spend 400 years there, and Hashem cut it down to 210. K'mo shekosu, as it says in Shir Hashirim, koil doidi hine zebo, medaleg al hehorim, mekapetz al hagvois. The voice of my beloved one has arrived, skipping over the mountains. That word medaleg, ledaleg, to skip over. Mekapetz al hagvois, jumping over the hills. And as it says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, ki Hashem Yisborach ro'o she'im lo yor bohem hadas klal, im kein mehechon yizku legula. Hashem saw that if he's not going to do something serious to shine some das into Klal Yisrael at that time, how is the geula going to take place? Ki ro'o she'i'efshir lahamtin bigulosom ad she'ikachu es hashivas haneiro es koroi. Hashem saw that it's impossible to wait to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim only after they've purified the seven openings of the head, the seven candles, properly. In a manner where they'll be worthy and qualified to receive makifin, to receive new seichel, based on their purity. Hashem saw that cannot wait for that. Because the Eitz Hara is very strong. And if Hashem is going to wait, the Yidden are going to sink completely in the Golus and the Tumah of Mitzrayim to such an extent where it'll be impossible to get them out. Kamuva, as is brought in the Al Sheikh HaKadosh, She'im hoyu Yisrael chas v'sholom mismaim em oid kerega b'mitzrayim hoyu nisharim mishukom shom chas v'sholom. That had Hashem waited one more second than he did, the Yidden would have been stuck there permanently, chas v'sholom. She'zehu soid v'lo yochlu lehismamea kayadua. This is the secret behind what the Torah says, that they had to make matzahs because they couldn't wait, as is known in the Sifrei Kabbalah. Al kein chomal aleim Hashem yisborach. Therefore Hashem had rachmonis on them, v'dileg al haketz. And Hashem skipped over the real official time when we should have gone out. V'heir bohem he'oras hadas ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. And in Mitzrayim, Hashem shined upon Klal Yisrael a light of das through Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the epitome of das. He'ora niflo, a wondrous light, afal pi sheloi hoyu ro'im leza ayidei maseyim. Even though we were not deserving of that light, we weren't worthy of it based on our own actions. And as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu coming on the scene and shining some das into us, that's what inspired us and motivated us to do tshuva. As it says in Shir HaShirim, Moshcheni acharecha narutza, draw me to you and I'll run after you. Uke'en shepirush Rashi shom, as Rashi HaKadosh explains over there, that when Hashem reached out to Klal Yisrael even a little bit, he threw us a rope through Moshe Rabbeinu, we came running. Aval adayin hoyo lehem bechira gedoyla. However, even with Moshe Rabbeinu, we still had major choice to make. Ki adayin hoyo kosho lehem kushay samavuchas harbe. Because we were still suffering from many questions, many things we didn't understand. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when it says in the beginning of Golos Mitzrayim, we're going to read it next week, Parsha Shemois, it says there that the Mitzrayim imposed on us Avoida Kosho Bechomer Ubelevenim. So the Zohar HaKadosh says Avoida Kosho. Kosho means Kushyos, questions. They bombarded Klal Yisrael with all kinds of questions. Bechomer, Bechumra Desugya. The Chumra means difficulty. The difficulty in being able to understand Hashem's actions. Ubilevenim, Bilibuna, Dlibuna Desugya. Being Malabe Nesugya means clarifying it, whitening the darkness. Ki adayin lo hisigu hamakifin koroi. Because Klal Yisrael had not yet achieved the knowledge that we could have, kiloi hoyu ruim lehem, because we weren't qualified for it, we weren't ready for it, machma shelo kitchu adayin shivas haneiros, because we had not yet purified the seven candles, ki gam heoras vehisnoitetzus hadas shehisigu hoyu gam kein bederech chesed verachamim lifnim mishuras hadin. Because even the das, the little bit of das that we did get at that time by Moshe Rabbeinu coming to us, even that, we received it in the form of chesed, rachmem. It was an act of kindness of Hashem. Lifnim mishuras hadin, we were not worthy of it. Umize bo kol hanisyonos harabim shenisu es Hashem yisborach vehirharu achra Hashem yisborach v'achrei Moshe. And this was the cause and the reason behind all the different times that they tested Hashem and tested Moshe Rabbeinu and had all kinds of questions on Hashem. Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imayim. Ki hakol nimshach mebechina sanal. All of that was the result of what we just mentioned. Machmashiloi zochu lahasoga samakifin bishleimus. Because we had not received the das that we needed bishleimus. Because we had not made the proper preparations to prepare ourselves to be worthy of receiving it. The canal, as we discussed earlier, the Iker Mashohoyo Yisrael, and the main thing that helped us and saved us at the time, She'afal Pikein, that even though we didn't make the proper preparations, and even though we weren't worthy, Aval Pikein Rubam Kikulam Nisharu Alamdam, the majority of Klal Yisrael did remain loyal, whose Chus Avosam was the merit of our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Chus of their good deeds, the Ribui Hatzaokois Shetzoako Al Hashem, and also the major screaming that Klal Yisrael did, screaming and pleading with Hashem to help us. As it says there in the beginning of Chumash Mois, where it says in Parshas Vayera, Vegam Hakim Moisi es Brisi Itchem, that the reason I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim is to fulfill the bris, the covenant that I made with your forefathers. I promised them that you're going to be in Mitzrayim and I'm going to take you out. Vegam, and in addition, Ani Shomati es Nakas Bnei Yisrael. I heard the outcry of Klal Yisrael. So these were the two major factors that saved us, that got us out, and allowed most of us to hang on. Ki ikar hoylodas hamoichin mita'alumosam hualidei hatsa'oka v'kanal. Because as we explained earlier, based on Torah Chafala from Likut Imran, the most powerful thing that gives a person the ability to learn new things, to take the moichin out of their state of hiddenness, is screaming to Hashem, crying out to Hashem. Tza'akosenu yoidea ta'alumais, it says in Ona B'choyach. Our tza'aka is what gives us the ability to get to know things that were previously hidden from us. So, okay, this is thousands of years ago. What does this have to do with me? V'chol ze tzorich kol odom leida b'chol zman. And everything we've described here is not history, it's not a story, it's a message, it's a lesson for us. Each and every single one of us has to know this all the time. Shekol ze oiver gam ato al kol echod v'echod. Everything we described in the past few shiurim here, every single one of us goes through this. Umaskil al dovor toiv. And a person who understands something good, hechofetz be'emes la'amitoi, and a person who wants the real truth. Again, note, Rav Nosson Zal is using this word, emes la'amitoi. He's telling us that all of Klal Yisrael compared to the Goyim is emes, compared to sheker. And the Torah compared to everything else, the Torah is called Torah emes. But in Torah, in Orthodox Judaism, there are levels and levels of emes. And Rav Nosson Zal says, a person who's not willing to settle for less, a person who wants the best, a person who wants the emes lamitoi, I want the real truth. Yoven mi ze eitzois vehischaskus lehiskarev lenekudas emes. The person will be able to understand from what we learned here, advice and encouragement as to how to come close to the essence of truth. And when a person sees that all kinds of questions are coming into their mind, questioning Hashem, questioning the Torah, questioning the Tzaddikim, questioning ourselves, kama v'kama hu tzorich litzoik l'Hashem Yisborach, the person has to realize that the best way to address this is to scream to Hashem, to cry out to Hashem. Because a person's going to learn, a person will say, I don't understand. I'll take out a Gemara and I'll learn. I'll take out a Likutei Moran and I'll learn. The person needs to know that Gemara and Likutei Moran are not chemistry and biology. chemistry and biology, you can learn by reading the books. You can read the books. Torah is divine knowledge. It's divine knowledge. And a person can learn Torah. Two people could be learning the same Torah. One person is getting 25 watts, and another person is getting 1,000 volts or 1,000 watts. And the difference, one of the major differences is how much tefillah. How much, when the person davens in the morning, they say the Birchas HaTorah with Kavona, Asher Kiddushonu B'mitzvoysa V'sivonu Lasik B'divrei Sorah. The Ha'arev No Hashem Alekeinu Estivrei Sroscha B'finu. U'B'finu is saying those brachas with Kavona, putting one's heart into it, and having his this, pleading with Hashem, Hashem, let me be zeichet to see the emes of the Torah. Because I've mentioned in the past, the Bnei Yisachar, in one of his forum brings, that for a person to be zeichet to the emes of the Torah, is a higher madrega than Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi'. The Gemara speaks about great, great tzaddikim who was zeichet that Eliyahu HaNavi'i revealed himself to them. And that's an incredible high madrega a person has to be zeichet to. The Gemara says one of the Tanoim, I believe it was Rav Onan, if I'm not mistaken, Eliyahu HaNavi used to visit him regularly, and then one day he made a slight error, Eliyahu HaNavi stopped coming. He didn't come. This is by the Tanoim, the Amoraim in the Gemara. So he says that for a person to be zeichet to the emes of the Torah is a higher madrega than that. And he gives a proof from the Gemara in Gittin towards the beginning, Davov, Davzayim. The Gemara there mentions Rabbi Avyasar. And the Gemara mentions that Rabbi Avyasar met Eliyahu HaNavi and they discussed something. And then later on, a little bit later, there's a discussion. Rabbi Avyasar said something, and maybe it's not like that. Maybe it's like this, or maybe it's like... I don't understand. You told me a few minutes ago that he's talking to Eliyahu HaNavi. We have a question as to whether he understands properly what the Torah is saying. And he says, from here we see that to be zeichet to the emes of the Torah is a higher madrega than Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi, which teaches us that you can have hundreds or thousands of people learning Torah, and they're getting it. They're getting a little. They're getting 25 watts, 35 watts, 100 watts. They don't know that there's a billion watts. They don't know that in Torah there's pshat, remez, drush, soid. Just yesterday I had the privilege of hearing that one of my grandsons, made a siyum on a Mishnah, and he was so excited, and he's on top of the world. He knows everything. He mamish knows everything. But we know that there's hundreds of Mishnahs. There's much more Mishnahs to go. And then there's Gemara. And then there's Rashi and Tosfos. It said there's levels and levels and levels. And Rabbeinu Zal puts tremendous emphasis on this, that for a person to really get the benefits of Torah, and das requires a lot of tefillah. Question in the chat, aren't we now in the same situation as in Mitzrayim? The answer is no. In some ways, we're in a worse situation. In Mitzrayim, there was Hastora. Now we're in Hastora Shebetoy Hastora. Where is our Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is, he's right here. He's right here. He's right here in the Sforim of the Tzadikim Amitiyim, in the Talmidim of the Tzadikim Amitiyim. Rav Nosson Zal said it in the previous year we had it. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Moshe Isa b'chol dor v'dor. Moshe Rabbeinu was found in every generation. It's just a few thousand years ago, he was more obvious. And today it's less obvious. But if a person wants to connect to Moshe Rabbeinu, he can do it today through these Sforim. These Sforim are the most powerful, clearest connection to Moshe Rabbeinu.
It's also clear that we have the Torah now, and it's time that we have the Torah. We already have the Ur.
Exactly. Here we're referring to Mitzrayim when they had not yet received the Torah. We had this several times in the Likutei Halachos, where Rav Nosson Zal showed the difference between Pesach and Shavuos. That Pesach, because we haven't yet received the Torah, even though we have Moshe Rabbeinu, no questions. Matzah, quick, run, don't walk, don't think, don't try to analyze. But Shavuos, we bring a Shtei Alechem from Chametz. Shavuos, after we receive the Torah, now put on the brakes a little. Now you're allowed to ask, you're allowed to learn those questions that are allowed to be asked. That on Shavuos, Chametz is permissible, Now you're allowed. When a person's in a fire, when a person's in quicksand, they have to jump out of there, get out of there as quick as possible. No analysis, no discussions. Just run and get out of there. And once the person gets out, then there's a slow process of healing, getting healed completely, which requires thinking, healthy analysis. It's interesting. Just recently, a person approached me with a question. Parents passed away, and there was an inheritance left, and there's an opportunity to do something. The children feel tremendous gratitude and appreciation for their parents, and they want to do something big for the parents. Like what? Like having a Sefer Torah written in their memory, dedicating and donating a Sefer Torah in memory of the parents. We know that there are many people that do that. It's a wonderful thing. It's a tremendous mitzvah. It's very special. And they mentioned it to me, and I started looking into it and processed. There were many delays for different reasons. And then I had another conversation with the person, and the person said that they've been thinking about it, and they want to know, is this really the best thing I could possibly do for my parents? Because I believe it's important, special, but I want to know, is this the best thing I can do? And when I heard that question, I remembered and understood that there are other things. But I wanted to double check, and I spoke to two close friends, two Rabbonim, and everyone came up with the same answer, that the Gemara tells us that a Sefer Torah is very, very special. But the Gemara says, imagine how foolish are those people who stand up for a Sefer Torah and they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara makes a Kal V'Chomer. Imagine, look how silly they are, that they want $25 and they don't want $100. They stand up for a Sefer Torah and they don't stand up for a living Sefer Torah, which is so much greater. And the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch tell us that supporting Talmidei Chachamim who are learning Torah is even a higher level than writing a Sefer Torah. It's even a higher Madrega. But interestingly enough, one of the Rabbonim said to me, but most people will have difficulty with that. They'll have a problem with that because people want to see something physical. They want to know a Sefer Torah. I know it's written. It'll be around for 50, 100 years, 200 years possibly. Supporting a Talmud Chacham, okay, I'm going to help him. He's going to have breakfast. He'll have lunch. I'll support him for a month. He'll buy a suit. That'll have it. But it looks like that's something that goes away much more quickly. And the answer is, this is one of the differences between the MS and the MS La'amitoi. Person looks in the Torah, a Sefer Torah is fabulous. It's a very good thing, very special. Is it the best? It's very, very good. Is it the best? If you really want the best, there is something better. There is something even bigger than that. And this story occurred with Rav Nosson Zal. Rav Nosson Zal, as a child, had a tremendous gift of clarity of mind. His rebbes in yeshiva said that they enjoyed his simple pshat better than all the chakiris and the questions that his friends used to try to come up with, to try to show how smart they are. That when Rav Nosson Zal learned something, it was crystal clear, and his rebbes saw that and appreciated it. Now he got older. When he was 13 years old, he was already on a level that his father-in-law, who was one of the giants of the generation at the time, saw this young man and saw what the level he was on and saw the potential and took him as a son-in-law for his daughter. And then Rav Nosson Zal continued learning full-time, studying, learning, and learning. And then at the age of 16, he started learning with a chavrusa who came from a background of Hasidus. Now, up until then, Rav Nosson Zal had been inculcated with tremendous negative feeling towards Hasidus and Hasidim. He had been told his family, his own family and the people he grew up with, but especially his father-in-law, who was recognized as one of the giants of the generation. That they called him Reb David Tzvi HaGadol, the great Reb David Tzvi. That's how he was called, Reb David Tzvi Auerbach. And his father-in-law had seen things that disturbed him about Hasidus, and as a result of that, he would lecture his children and sons-in-law daily, Rav Nosson Zal says. Imagine, he felt this was so critical that whenever he had an opportunity, he would tell them, stress to them, stay away from Hasidim, stay away from Hasidus. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that he spent a winter learning with this Chavrusa, a whole winter, and in the process of learning, periodically they got into arguments about Hasidus. And Rav Nosson Zal says, after months of these arguments, and you could imagine Rav Nosson Zal wasn't a pushover. He had what to say. And still he said he realized that his Chavrusa, his friend, was right. That there were things in that when it came to the mitzvahs related to the heart, tefillah and things like that, the Hasidim had a major advantage over those that weren't Hasidim at the time. And Rav Nosson Zal began a 6-year search in the Olam HaChasidus, going to the giants of the Reb Levitz of Berdichev, Reb Meir Paprush, tzaddikim, giants, each one of them superstars, and spending months or years by some of them, learning from them, and then still wasn't satisfied, still felt there's more, there's better. And then he found Rabbeinu Zal at the end of 6 years, when he was 22, he found Rabbeinu Zal. And from the first meeting, he saw that this is something different. This is another level. Reb Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levrocha, who Rabbeinu Zal called the Pe'er Hador, the beauty of the generation. He was very great, but this is something different. This is another league, another level. Even though Rabbeinu Zal at the time was a few years older than Rav Nosson Zal. And Rav Nosson Zal started learning from him. And then at one point, Rav Nosson Zal's father-in-law at that point offered him a position. He told him that he was grooming him to take over his position as a poisek, a poisek of a whole major district, not a city, a whole major district of Klal Yisrael. And to be able to learn full-time, to be learning full-time, and answering questions for Klal Yisrael. And no concern at all about Parnassa, no worry about Parnassa. That kind of position was a very respected and respectable position. Parnassa, no problem. Rav Nosson Zal went to Rabbeinu Zal, and he said to him, I have this opportunity being offered to me to be able to be a dayan and a rov, a major rov, is a right thing for me. And Rabbeinu Zal said, Nishkosha, good. Rav Nosson Zal heard it, and he didn't hear what he wanted to hear. Somehow he felt, good doesn't tell me that this is really what I'm supposed to be doing. And then he waited for another opportunity, and he mentioned it to Rabbeinu Zal another time, and Rabbeinu Zal gave the same answer, Nishkosha. Why not? And Rav Nosson Zal felt, because he was so serious in his search for the emes, because he was so allergic to sheker, to any iota, to anything that wasn't real emes, he wasn't satisfied. And then at another opportunity, he approached Rabbeinu Zal and said, Rebbe, please, I want to know the emes or emes. Tell me the real truth. Is this what I should be doing? And Rabbeinu Zal said to him, you want to know the real emes? Medaf reisim kvorim. That was the expression he used, a Yiddish expression, for which something like that today in English would be, you have to burn rubber. You've got to run. You're not looking for a job, a respectable, nice, pleasant job. You have a different mission completely. And had Rav Nosson Zal taken that position, we wouldn't be learning Likutei Halachos today. There wouldn't be thousands or hundreds of thousands of Jews over the past 200 years who have benefited from the teachings of Rabbeinu Zal. Rav Nosson Zal got the message, and for the next 8 years, he stuck to Rabbeinu Zal. He did everything he possibly could and took on the world, just like Avraham Avinu was called Avraham HaIvri. Ivri means the other side. He was on one side, and the rest of the world was on the other side. incredible opposition. They called Avram Avinu an apikoiris because he went against the tide. Everybody believes in idols, and this Meshugana, this year, doesn't. And Rav Nosson Zal got it from everywhere, from the people closest to him, his close friends who respected him and loved him. He came from an aristocratic family. His parents were wealthy, religious, Talmidei Chachamim, everything. And his friends pulled away from him. And family pulled away from him. His father was upset at him. His wife, his own wife, was super angry at him. And for this went on for a few years. And Rav Nosson Zal persisted and persisted. He saw that this is the emes la'amitoi. This is the highest level of emes I've ever come across in my entire life. All the rabbonim I had were all good. Everybody was good. Everybody was emes, different levels of emes. But this is another level. This is a higher level. And Baruch Hashem, thanks to his search for the emes la'amitoi, and thanks to his screaming to Hashem, and thanks to him working on himself to purify the Shiva Saneiros. Take a look at Elikutei Tfilos, 800 pages of Rav Nosson Zal's Hispoiditus, pleading, begging Hashem to help him improve in every way possible in his relationship with Hashem, in his relationship with Yidden. Thanks to that Baruch Hashem, we have the zchiyah of being here. Last night, I had the privilege of attending a siyum on Likutei Halachos, a siyum that was dedicated in memory of one of the art sites we mentioned today, Rabbi Yitzchok Meir. And this is a grandson of Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Evracha. Rav Rosenfeld was a Breslov Chassid. Rav Rosenfeld taught Talmidim, and their Talmidim had children, and one of those young men who's a working man, a person who works full-time supporting a family, Kanayin Ahara, with 10 children, and made a siyum on Likutei Halachos, 4,000 pages, and made a siyum at the same time on Seder Moed of Shas, learning Daf Yomi Gemara at the same time, and a siyum of Mishnayis. And all of this, where does a person get that fuel, that fire to do that? It's from these pages. It's from this Moshe Rabbeinu, from Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal, and their Sforim, to be able to get the fire that's needed in today's times. A person who's not learning full-time, a working person and raising a family, to be able to have the motivation to persist another page and another page, to be zeicha to accomplish such a thing. Paragraph Yud Aleph. And with this, we'll understand an incredible insight regarding Hashem's first official meeting with Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehoya Alidei Mare Hasneh, which was at the burning thorn bush that Moshe Rabbeinu saw. Shero'o, Moshe Rabbeinu saw, Vehine Hasneh Boyer Boesh, Vahasneh Einenu Uko. This thorn bush, thorns usually burn pretty quickly. He saw this thorn bush burning with fire, and yet the thorns are not being destroyed. Upirish Rashi Shon, Rashi HaKodesh explains there, Shashem Yisborach Nizgal Eloi Mitoi Chasneh Mishum Imo Yanoichi Betzora. That the reason why Hashem revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in this manner was to show him thorns are painful. Thorns represent golos. When a person's in prison, they're getting pricked by thorns. And Hashem wanted to show him that the fire is in the thorn bush. The fire is Hashem, kaviyachol. Hashem is called Eish Oichla. That Hashem is with the Jews in our suffering. That when we're in golos, Hashem is right there. The Arizal says, Ve'ele shmois b'nei Yisrael haboyim mitzrayimah. These are the names of the Jewish people who went down to Mitzrayma. The word Mitzrayma is Bigimatria Shechina. The Jews are in Mitzrayim, that's where the Shechina is. Hainu, ki hasneh hu bechinas hachoichim v'koitzim hasoivimis hashoshana el yoina. The thorn bush represents the thorns and the thistles which surround the heavenly roads. The opening line in the Zohar HaKodesh, quotes the, this pasuk in Shir Hashim, Kishoishana bein achoichim, like a rose among the thorns, Kain rayosi bein abonai, so too are the Jewish people surrounded by the other nations. And so too is the Shekhinah surrounded by all the klipos, all the forces of Tumah that want to draw from it. The word Shoshana is Bigimatria Esther. Esther, which is one of the names of the Shekhinah. Shehein Bechinas HaKushiyos VaMevuchos Shemachnisim HaKoyfrim Al Hashem Yisborach Val Mekoyrovov HoAmitiyin. The thorns here represent the questions and the paradoxes that those people who don't believe in Hashem, they throw those questions against Hashem. They question Hashem, and they question those who are really close to Hashem, the true tzaddikim. Shemishon ikar arichas hagolus. And this is the main reason behind why we are in such a long exile now. The Gemara says the Jews went into Lochorva Yushalayim ad shepaskmenu anshe amona. That when was Yerushalayim destroyed? When our emuna fell. When our emuna fell. Lack of emuna. And what causes lack of emuna? These philosophers, these scientists who are challenging faith, challenging religion. That's why Hashem revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu inside of this thorn bush. Meaning that there are these questions that surround Hashem, kavyocho. V'ro'o Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu saw shahasneh boyer bo'esh, that the thorn bush is burning, v'hasneh einanu ukol, and the thorns are not being destroyed. Hainu she'esh digdusha, shehi hizgalos das ha-Torah, shehi bechinas rish be'esh, this holy fire which represents knowledge of Torah, haloi koi dvorai ko'esh, no mashem, the Pasuk says. And the Torah is called rish be'esh, fire. B'chinas haloi koi dvorai ko'esh, shezeh ho'esh oisek tomed, levayer ulechalo yises hasneh, v'chol achoichem v'koitzim. This fire of Torah is always involved in trying to destroy the klipos, the forces of Tumah, these thorns and thistles. Hainu levatel kol hakfirois, v'chol hakushos v'amavuchos, to eliminate all of the atheism, the denial of Hashem, and all the questions, the philosophical questions and paradoxes. V'yafal pikein v'hasneh einenu ukol, and yet it doesn't end. Because these questions still exist. These questions and these paradoxes. And this is what amazed Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, let me turn and look carefully at this incredible sight. Madua lo yivar hasneh? Why in the world is this thorn bush not being destroyed? Heishiva Hashem Yisborach, and Hashem responded to him, Shal ne'olecho me'al raglecho. Take off your shoes. Hainu shebe'inyan from your feet. Hainu shebe'inyan hasogas hamakifin yesh kama v'kama madregos b'li shir. Regarding a person learning new things and getting to understand what they don't understand yet, there are levels and infinite levels. Kihem kol kibul haschar shel olam haba, because we're taught this is the reward that tzaddikim are going to have in olam haba, that they're constantly going to be learning new things. They're constantly be going higher and higher levels of recognition of Hashem. Shekol echot yekabel kifi erkoi kifi avoidosoi, which every single person will receive in Olam Haba based on that person's value, based on how much that person made an effort to serve Hashem in this world. Ki hasokas hamakifin anal hein bechinas, because this concept of achieving the knowledge that we don't have yet, that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says la'osid lovoi tzadikim yoishvim v'itroiseyem b'rosheyem, that in the future tzadikim are going to be sitting and their crowns will be in their heads, not al roshehem, b'rosheyem, An atorah is something that surrounds a person. La'ator means to circle, to surround. The atorah, the makifin, will be birashehen. We're going to be constantly achieving new makifin. As Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 21 on Likutei Moran, shezeh b'chinas kol tzadik v'tzadik nichve mechuposoi shel chaveroi. This is what the Gemara is referring to in Baba Basra, when the Gemara says each and every tzaddik is going to be burned from the chuppah of his friend. The chuppah of his friend, chuppah is the outside, the surrounding part of his friend, is going to be so high a level that it's going to burn him. He's not going to be ready for that high level light. Ayin Shom, look over there in Torah Chaf Aleph, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this. V'chol ha-kushyos v'mevuchoy shebo'ilom nimshochim mi-sichles ha-makifim she'enom zoichim la-hasigom. All of the questions that these philosophy books and these philosophers have, and the scientists, all the things that they can't understand, all come from these makifin, which we haven't yet achieved. V'afilu mi-shemasig eze makifin. And even a person who has learned a lot of new things, they have achieved a lot of makifin. Adayin yesh makifim acherim sheloi hisigam adayin. That person also still has other makifin that they have not yet achieved, that things they don't understand yet. Umishom boim gam olav kushyos mevuchos. And that's what causes even that person who has achieved a lot of knowledge, high level knowledge, that person also has makifin. They also have things that they don't understand. V'chein lamala lamala, and so too higher and higher. Ad sheyesh makifin, gevoyim v'nizkofim kol kach, to the point where there are such high level makifin, shegam hatzadik hagodol mo'oy b'kidusha gedoyla, adayin hu tzorech lekadesh esatzmoy od yoyser v'yoyser, to the point where there are such high level makifin that even the great tzaddik has to, the greatest tzaddikim still have to purify themselves more and more to be able to achieve those makifin. The Arizal was asked by Rabbi Chaim Vitalzal, Rabbi, how did you get to your level? And one of the answers he gave him was, I worked very hard. Reb Chaim Vital wasn't satisfied. He said, so did they. So did the other Rabbonim in this generation, the Al-Sheikh HaKodesh, the Beis Yosef, other Tzadikim. What made you so different, worlds from all of them? And the Arizal said, I worked harder. And he gave him an example. There are times that I would work for days and nights to understand something in the Zohar HaKodesh, and I felt that I got it. I thought I understood it. I went further. And a few weeks later, I got a message that my understanding was not right. It wasn't right yet. And I would go back and fast and be mispala, beg Hashem, plead with Hashem to be zeichet to understand it, until I got, people think the Arizal, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, abracadabra. They did an abracadabra and they got all the knowledge. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spent 13 years in the cave without a change of clothes. Had to remove their clothing and lie in sand for 13 years in order to purify and purify and to achieve higher and higher levels, to be able to get to the level of being able to know and reveal the secrets of Torah that he got to. And this was Hashem's response to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shal na'olecha me'al raglecha. Remove your shoes from your feet. The Isa B'tikunim and the Tikune Zoyar in chapter 21 explains Sherom Azloi Sheyafshit La'atzmoi Gufo Denogabe Basparoi, that he had to cleanse himself. He had to strip away the body which the daughter of Paroi, Basia, had touched when she took him out of the water. We know that it's brought that Basia Basparoi went down to the waters at that time to dip herself from her avodah zarah, from all the idol worship, to purify herself from all the idol worship. And she touched Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Tikkun HaZoyar says, because of that, on his level, that was a pigam. That caused his body to be damaged to a degree. And Hashem said to him, remove your shoes. The Zohar Kodesh says, Na'al do itza. The shoes are the woman, the wife. Because the Gemara says a person should sell everything he has to be zoicha to marry a bas talmud chacham. And the Gemara uses the same exact wording, a person should sell everything he has to buy a good pair of shoes, to have good shoes. So the shoes represent the wife. Hainu sheheshev loy, Hashem responded to Moshe Rabbeinu, sha'afilu hu biatzmoy, that even Moshe Rabbeinu, who at that time was approximately 80 years old, and had spent years in the deserts screaming to Hashem, pleading with Hashem, when he was in Ethiopia for 40 years, and when he was in Midian, screaming to Hashem, tz'okos, and everything. Still, Eef Shaloi Levayar Hasneh, even he cannot destroy the thorns and koitzim, Shehim Kol Hamavuchos, which are all of these questions, Kiim Alidei Sheyafshit Mimenu Gufoi, without stripping away his body. Despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's body at that time was definitely on an incredible high level of holiness, despite that, since there is a slight attachment to Klipa, to the Klipas Noiga, the Zohar Kodesh says there, as a result of coming into contact with Bas Paroi at that time, even though who is Bas Paroi? The Arizal says that at night when he would go to sleep, he went up to Shamayim and he had a special pass. He had a visa, a global visa. He had invitation to any and all yeshivas in heaven that he wanted to go to. And he describes the different yeshivas. He explains there was a Masifta Ilo, Masifta Derakia, and the yeshiva of this Tana, and the yeshiva of this Tzadik, and he says there's the yeshiva of Basya Bas Paroi. She has her own yeshiva in heaven. Imagine what kind of madrega we're talking about. But at that time, when she was going down to Toivel from Avodah Zorah, there was still, the Tikkuni Zohar explains, there was still an aspect of Klipas Noiga, of the Ra of Klipas Noiga attached, and the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu came into contact with that meant there was a tiny, tiny pigam. Tzorichato lahafshit hakoil mikoil v'koil. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has to strip himself completely from everything, kidei sheyuchal lahasig makifim gavoyim keila, in order for him to be able to achieve these incredible high-level makifim that will answer all of these questions. Now, if this is Moshe Rabbeinu, Mikolshkein v'kolshkein sharha on Bnei Yisrael, shaloi nizkachu adayin koroi klal, you can be sure that the rest of us, that the rest of Klal Yisrael, who have not purified ourselves and achieved real kedusha at all, shebevadai adayin yef shalohem liskois lahasoga samakifim bishleimus. Therefore, we certainly cannot achieve the makifin, all the knowledge, the things that we don't know, to completion. And that's why we still have these questions and doubts about Hashem, about the tzaddikim, which are these thorns, this thorn bush that surrounds the Shechina, the Kedusha. V'alkein hasneh boyer bo'esh ha'toyra v'hadas shemegalon ha'tzadikim. Therefore, this thorn bush is burning. It's burning from the Torah and the wisdom that the tzadikim reveal. V'afal pikein, however, despite that, v'hasneh einenu ukol. It hasn't yet been destroyed completely, these klipos. U'menakvin v'oiktsin es hadas v'halev shel isha Yisraeli. A thorn makes a hole in a person. It punches a hole in a person. These thorns are still making holes and biting our das and our hearts, the Jewish hearts, al yidei hakushes v'amavuchos, as a result of these questions, the questions and the doubts, sheim b'chin asne v'koitzin, ki hakoil machma shelo yischilu lahafshit es gufam klal. This is all because we haven't yet really begun to strip away our gashmius, our body that's damaged from all the pigamim, v'loy kitshu shivas haneiros karoi, and we haven't yet purified the shivas haneiros, these seven candles, the seven openings of the head properly. There, Hashem was referring to Klal Yisrael, the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael at that time, when they were just, they were still in Egypt, they were still surrounded by klipos, every time of klipa and tuma. We find the Zohar Kodesh says there that this is why, when it comes to the Pora Aduma, the Pora Aduma is a nuclear weapon to purify Klal Yisrael. It's the most powerful detergent, ammonia. It can even purify a person who has tumas mes. And yet, the one who's involved in the process becomes tamei in the process. Because he's coming into contact with people that are tamei, he receives a slight tumor. He becomes tamei tumas erev. He has to wait till the evening and then he's okay. But he was able to take people who were tamei seven, where it took 7 days of purification and two rounds of sprinkling ashes at paraduma, he's able to purify them, but he gets affected in the process. The Zohar Kodesh says the same thing was the person on Yom Kippur, the one who led the Soer Lazozel out of the Beis HaMikdash to be thrown off the mountain, upon which all the sins of all Klal Yisrael were transferred onto that Soer Lazozel. He becomes tamei, a slight tumah. It says v'chibes begodov. He has to wash his clothing. And this is the concept of the tzaddikim, those tzaddikim who are involved in outreach, who mingle with people who are not yet pure. They have to constantly be purifying themselves. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 59 of the Kudumran, where he speaks about the tzaddik who's building a heichal hakodesh, and he needs a fire. He has to have a fire of kedusha, islavus, to help him burn away the ra of the people whom he's coming into contact with, and to protect himself, that ra shouldn't take hold of him. We know that Rabbeinu Zal, before he passed away, he said one of the reasons why he's leaving the world is because he can't stop. He must keep climbing. He must keep going higher and higher. And at this point in his life, in order to go higher, he has to take off his shirt. He has to take off his body. He has to remove the body. He's gotten to a level where the body is no longer allowed entrance. And even though he had purified his body, those that are familiar with the story of Rabbeinu Zal's life, from when he was a child, a small child, battling all the taivas, like Rabbeinu Zal's here, there are levels that when a tzaddik wants to get to those levels, it cannot be done from this world anymore. And Rabbeinu Zal said that's why he had to leave at such a young age, 38 and a half years old. The Arizal also left the world at a young age, these great tzaddikim. Wishing everybody a wonderful day and week. Baruch Hashem, we completed this halacha. This was a project. And now we're going to have two shorter halachas, still on the topic of Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha, that a man is not allowed to put on a woman's clothes and vice versa. And we're approaching the completion of this volume. Bizoicha, to absorb what we're learning and to apply it to ourselves correctly. Bizoicha to the Gula Shleimah, Amen V'Amen.